What makes a good life, a life well lived? Is it friends and family, helping others, achieving something, creating something, living according to the tenets of a faith, being happy, whatever that means?
And we want to hear your answer right now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page, what gives meaning to your life? Dr. Richard Gunderman joins us now. He's a doctor and a philosopher and a professor at Indiana University. Dr. Gunderman, welcome back to the show.
It's a pleasure to be with you. Thanks.
First, do you think it's a good thing to spend time pondering about how we answer this question? What makes a good life?
I do, in part because, as the ancient philosopher Aristotle once said, if we don't see our target, we're much less likely to hit it. So we don't have time to spend every day pondering such big questions in life. But from time to time, I think it's a good idea to step back and try to think about the direction in which our life is proceeding and if, you know, there are goals to which we'd like to devote more time and attention.
And even if we do think about these questions and maybe come up with a couple answers, how do we start to put that into practice in our daily lives?
I think one way is to look closely at your schedule. Sometimes I'll ask people, you know, what's most important to you in life? And they'll say my family, you know, or writing a book I've always felt incubating inside me. But then when you look at that person's schedule, you frequently discover that there's no time set aside for that activity, or at least the amount of time and attention they're devoting to it, you know, scheduling for it, is much less than what it would require to really deliver on their goals. So one thing we can do is to make sure we're organizing our lives and allocating our time to achieve the things that are most important to us.
Right. That can be a really difficult thing. We can say, for instance, that we want to spend a lot of time with our children, and then in the day-to-day crush of life, it sort of gets lost in the shuffle and you find yourself just sort of handing them their lunches as they run out the door. Do you have any advice for how to consciously make sure that you are hitting those goals?
Yeah, well, one way, I mean, this takes some effort, but it can pay big dividends, is first to try to schedule your time so you're spending time regularly on the things that matter most to you in life. And then secondly, at the end of a day or at the end of each day for a week, try to think about how you actually spent your time, because, you know, it's one thing to have goals, but it's another thing to check to see if you're actually pursuing them effectively. So, you know, if you, gosh, I said today I wanted to, you know, do something with my children, and then it turned out that time was eaten up by some little fires that erupted over the course of the day, it can be useful to look at how that time was spent, and, you know, maybe we can learn some lessons that we can apply tomorrow or next week to make sure we're devoting the attention to the things that we say are most important.
Before we get into the specific things that make life worth living and get to our callers at 800-642-1234, I wonder, do you think there are some universal answers that might apply to everyone when it comes to living a good life?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, there are a number of possibilities, but one that I hear over and over again, particularly as people get further along in life, say, you know, have reached the 60s or 70s, perhaps retired, have grandchildren, that they feel like they've seen much of what life is going to serve up to them. One thing that I hear repeatedly is that I wanted to make a difference. You know, with the way I raised my children or my grandchildren, with the kind of work I did, the quality of work I did in the workplace, the fact I was there for those days or those years actually made a difference for the people I served. In my case, you know, a good bit of my professional life is devoted to the care of patients. So can I say that the fact I was that patient's doctor, as opposed to one of my very well qualified colleagues, did the fact I was that patient's doctor actually make a difference for them? And that's something, you know, whether you're a doctor or lawyer or homemaker or school teacher, accountant, no matter what you do, many of us have a deep hunger to make a difference in the lives of other people.
Now, as a doctor and a philosopher, you speak a lot with people, you know, when the chips are down, when they're facing illness. And so many of us spend a lot of time trying to accumulate wealth to pay the mortgage. Do you get the sense in talking to your patients and considering these questions that wealth is something that people are happy to have put time into when their life is over?
Yeah, well, it certainly varies from person to person. I don't think there's one single answer that each human being will give to a question like that. But some people, having experienced a serious illness, either, you know, say had cancer or a serious injury themselves or cared for a loved one or a friend who had such an injury, it often changes their sense of priorities in life. You know, some of the things that we let get under our skin and, you know, kind of torturous day in and day out. Once you've looked at them from the perspective of, you know, my life may end in 6 months, they don't seem quite so worrisome anymore. And some of the things that we haven't devoted so much time and attention to after you emerge from a serious illness can sometimes seem much more worthy of attention. And, you know, an example would be spending more time with family or trying to reconcile in a relationship that's gone bad, you know, with a sibling or a child or something like that. And you would never wish serious illness on anyone. But one of the unexpected benefits for a lot of patients is a renewed and deepened perspective on the things in life they care about most.
We'll go to our callers now at 800-642-1234, asking what makes a good life, what is good in life. We've got Mark on the line in Appleton. Mark, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I'm scratching the dirt out from under my fingernails because I was filling up my garden this morning. We're baking bread tomorrow afternoon. My boys and my little girl and I play together. Simplify, simplify, simplify. Get back to the basics in life. Unplug and love the people who are near you and just simplify your life.
Mark, thank you so much for that suggestion and for your experience. And it's the little things, the simple things sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. We live in such an age of technology, you know, with computers and cell phones, and we think we're connected to so many people all at once. But sometimes our attention gets so caught up in, say, you know, Twitter or email or Facebook or what have you. You may be in a lot of relationships, have a lot of friends, so to speak. But when you look at it, some of those begin to seem rather superficial, and you might pull back and say, this is great, but I really need to form deeper connections with a very few people in my life, like Mark said, with his own children and family, the people we live with day in and day out. We don't want to let those core relationships suffer or, take a false sense of satisfaction in the fact we've got so many Facebook friends when we're not spending quality time around the dinner table or working in the family garden with our own kids.
And do you think the answer to this question is something that changes as we age, as we maybe get a little more wise?
Yeah, there are prodigies in things like mathematics or music or chess, you know, kids who are champions at the age of 10 or 12 or 14. But I sometimes think that this is an area in life where there's really no substitute for life experience. You just need to get out there and work and live and pay attention and see what turns out to be most fulfilling to you. And when you can figure out what turns out to be most deeply rewarding to you, to try to organize your life at work and at home so you spend more time on those kinds of activities.
We're talking about what makes a good life with Dr. Richard Gunderman, professor of pediatrics and philosophy at Indiana University, and with you.
Call 800-642-1234. Tell us what to you makes a good life. 800-642-1234. We continue our conversation with Dr. Richard Gunderman. He's a physician and a philosopher, and we're tackling a basic question: what makes a life a good one? What is a life well lived?
You can join in with your answer at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Is it about accomplishing something, doing good, having loved ones, or something else? Call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Back to our callers now with Jeff in Viroqua. Jeff, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Jeff in Viroqua again. Jeff Lazan, can you guys hear me out?
Okay, what did you want to bring up?
Yeah, first I want to thank everybody. This is an awesome conversation, and I totally agree with the professor, and I just want sense, and that I guess throughout life I've learned, and what I see wealth as now is, it's a measure of time. It's like how many days you can move forward from like this set point right now if you lost everything else, like if you lost your main source of income. And then I think that brings us to the overall full circle, that the sort of the answer to the universal question he was wondering, and that I feel that time is the most important thing in the world, and it goes hand in hand with health, because if you don't have one or the other, you're pretty much screwed with life. And so wealth, time, and health, I think that is sort of the universal answer, and I hope I did a good job stream my 10 cents. And you can find me on Facebook at Jeff Lazan. I'm part of the Love Police. Thank you.
Jeff, thanks for the call. So time, health, and wealth, Dr. Gunderman.
Sounds right to me. I think one way those themes connect is a mistake we can make is to suppose we're going to live forever. You know, I'll take care of that tomorrow or next year or a decade. I don't need to worry about it now. But in fact, you know, if you look at life from a certain perspective, it's short. And we want to make the most of each day we have. There's an old phrase from the ancient Romans, carpe diem, seize the day. And if we're aware of how short life is, I think it can help us do our best to make every day count.
And, you know, I wonder about a headline I've seen recently that people regret at the end of life the things that they haven't done rather than the things that they've done. Is there a takeaway there, do you think, Dr. Gunderman?
Well, one thing we can do is try to think now about what our lives will look like as they reach the end. Like, what sorts of things would you hope somebody would say at your funeral? Or what sorts of things would you hope somebody might write in an obituary about you? And, you know, that's kind of a morbid thought, but if we can step back at least occasionally and think about what we want our lives to have amounted to when they reach their end, that may help us do a better job of deciding how to use the time we have each day.
Go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234 with Eugene on the line in Viola. Eugene, hi.
Good afternoon. I think what makes a good life is staying out of debt. I took some teaching jobs over the years that I wouldn't have been able to, if I'd had any debt, which I didn't, I wouldn't have been able to afford to have done, and I hope I made a difference because I took those pretty much. But they were lower paying. If I'd have had the debt, I wouldn't have been able to.
Eugene, thank you so much. That's interesting. So not just staying out of debt for its own sake, but for the freedom to do something, maybe do something good that you couldn't have afforded to do otherwise, Dr. Gunderman.
Yeah, that's right. On the one hand, many of us would say we don't want to devote every waking minute of the day to making as much money as we possibly can. But on the other hand, I don't think that gives us license to ignore money. And if you're in dire straits, financially speaking, you know, big debts or having trouble feeding yourself or your family, it's a little difficult to focus on some of the other things that make life worthwhile. So to say on the one hand that we don't want to make finances or money our top priority is not to say they don't matter at all. And sometimes if we look at life carefully, we realize that there are some things that cost money we can do without. And, you know, not have to incur those kind of financial worries, say buying a house bigger than we can afford or, you know, making some risky investments that could turn out to haunt us down the road.
And we're going to go back to our callers now and take Tiana next in Tomahawk. Hi there, Tiana.
The purpose of living life is to live a godly life and telling others about Jesus. And I went to Haiti on a missions trip and told everyone in Haiti about that. And I think that's the purpose of life, is to tell others about Christ.
Okay, thank you so much for your call. And Tiana, expressing the role of faith in a life, a lot of people would answer something like that, regardless of what that faith is. What about that answer, Dr. Gunderman?
Yeah, I think Tiana is right on target there. For many people, one of the most important features of a life well lived is that you've devoted your life to some transcendent purpose. Obviously, different faith traditions would give different accounts of that, but you feel like you're serving some purpose beyond yourself, and, you know, maybe some purpose that's going to persist even beyond your own life. When you have an experience like that, where you feel that you've made a difference that goes beyond the significance of your own life, I think Tiana's absolutely right. Share that with somebody. In fact, make it a habit to share with people your peak experiences. For one thing, it'll get them thinking about their peak experiences, and for another, it leads to some really terrific conversations. I find that one way you can best understand your own sense of purpose in life is to share it with other people, because as you hear yourself talk and hear the questions they pose and how they react, you often get an even clearer sense of what you're really working and living toward.
Tiana, thanks for the call. We'll go now to Tom with us in Sheboygan. Hi, Tom.
Hi. I got a question concerning your great program here. Dale Carnegie's book, in his great book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, he says about life, what do you want? Not many things, but the few things that you do wish, you crave with an insistence that will not be denied. Some of the things most people want include health and the preservation of life, food, sleep, money and the things money will buy, life in the hereafter, sexual gratification, the well-being of our children, and a feeling of importance. And he expounds on that, a feeling of importance that we crave so much for.
A lot of basics there, Tom. Thank you for that call. But I like that last one, a feeling of importance. Maybe that fits in with what you said about a feeling of having made a difference, Dr. Gunderman.
I think that's exactly right. Deep down inside, we aspire to lead lives of significance, to know that we made a difference in at least the life of one other person. And if that's what matters most to us, that's an ability that we want to cultivate. You know, if it's going to be teaching, try to be the best teacher you can. If it, in my case, it's going to be something like practice of medicine, try to become the best doctor you can. But try to figure out what kind of difference we hope to make in the lives of others, what the enduring significance of our lives will be, and then focus on developing those talents so you can make as big a difference as possible.
So we can hit these markers in our lives, these things that to us make a good life. We have to stop every now and then, like you said, and take stock. Can you leave us with some ideas for introspection?
I think one of the best tools of introspection is reading and conversation. I would encourage listeners who, few people are going to take me up on this, but I think one of the best things listeners can do is select a good book or two and find at least one friend or colleague who's willing to read it with you and then talk about it. It could be a novel, it could be a work of biography, historical fiction. But a book that speaks to you or that you expect will speak to you, read that and discuss it with someone else. And frequently a good book can act as a terrific catalyst to help us focus our conversation and reflection on what we want our lives to be all about.
Dr. Gunderman, thank you so much for coming on and talking about this today.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks for the opportunity.
We've been talking to Dr. Richard Gunderman, Professor of Pediatrics, Medical Education, and Philosophy at Indiana University. You can keep on sharing your thoughts at the Central Time Facebook page.